Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, his love endures forever, his faithfulness continues throughout all generations.
Good morning. If you can, would you please stand for our first song? Come, now is the time to worship.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. You are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are.
Welcome to this Sunday of celebration. Is there anyone here who has any guests who would like to be introduced? Well, if not, welcome to all who are coming as guests today. And now we will move to hymn number 6 in our hymnals here in this place.
I think we need a stage manager.
Ooh, to drink the wine of compassion. Give us to eat the bread that is you. Nourish us well and teach us to fashion lives that are holy and hearts that are true.
As some of you may have noticed, we are selling chocolates in the back of the church this Sunday. And for those of you who don't know why we're doing that, what we're doing is the Sunday school and junior youth and youth are all working together as a group to fundraise money for MCC kits. There's three kinds of kits that we're raising money for. It's all shown up there. We have school kits, hygiene kits, and infant kits. And so our goal is to match or exceed a $300 donation that we received. And these will go across overseas to those families who need them in order to raise their kids to be happy and healthy. And we have a couple testimonials that we'd like to share. If Kenzie and Rory want to come up and share those.
Hi. When Sarvan children return to school this fall, many will carry a weight that is much heavier than a backpack. They will remember fleeing from their homes while bombing, shelling, shooting, and raids happened around them. The loss of family members and neighbors who have died in Sarvan conflict weigh on them. Concern for the children has been a part of almost every plan Mennonite Central Committee, MCC, has implemented with its partners since the beginning of the Sarvan crisis more than 2 years ago. The children who are affected are not just in Sarvan, but also those in Jordan and Lebanon who have to share their schools, food, homes, and resources with their relatives or guests. MCC's partners in Jordan, Sarvan, and Lebanon have been distributed more than 75,000 school kits. MCC has supported after-school education programs, summer camps, and special events specifically for children. Getting children into school is the most positive way to help refugees and displaced children within Sarvan to cope, said the Rev. Paul Hadostan, president of Hagansan University in Beirut and partner of MCC Lebanon. The principal of the Armenian Evangelic School recently told him, school life gives a sense of normalness to the children's psyche. When the children is studying, he or she feels more productive and learning in itself is therapeutic.
Hi. Becca Short from West Clinton Mennonite Church in Ohio distributed MCC school kits in Honduras as part of her cross-cultural experience as an Eastern Mennonite University student. Short also helps pack school kits back in Ohio. I let my eyes sweep across the room full of Honduran children receiving MCC school kits, packed with notebooks, pencils, and rulers. Every student in the room is smiling from ear to ear, anxiously waiting to receive their very own bag of school supplies. This is my fourth week in Honduras with a group of students from Eastern Mennonite University. We're spending the week visiting organizations that partner with Mennonite Central Committee. Today, we are blessed with the opportunity to distribute school kits in two different locations. As we hand out the school kit to each student, I can feel the level of excitement build steadily. When each student has a bag, permission is given to open the bag, and I see the students' eyes light up with anticipation. Jubilant cries ring out from all four corners of the classroom as the student pull at the strings to open their bags. My eyes are drawn to one little boy in the front row who is pulling each item out of his bag with great care. After he places all the items on his desk in front of him, he picks each one up and admires it intently. "It's red," he announces to his friends. "My notebook is red." Other students are equally enthusiastic, waving their new supplies above their heads. I am sure that the pure delight that I see on those beaming faces will never be erased from my memory. These students show us so much gratitude for bringing them something as simple as a notebook.
Thank you for sharing. And if anyone would like to make a donation, aside from buying chocolates, if you just write the check out to North Ladona Mennonite Church and just make a note on the envelope that it's for the MCC school kits. Now, if the children would like to come forward, Ingrid White has a children's story for you.
Good morning. It's nice to see that there are so many of you here today. That's good. I have just a short story today, and I need somebody that's a little bit strong. Okay, can you stand up? I want you to tear that piece of paper for me, please. Wow. Did she do again? Wow. Okay. This job's not quite so easy. Can you stand up again? Can you tear the book in half? No. I tried it with my husband, who thinks he's pretty strong. He can't rip the book either. Can anyone think of a reason why it's really easy to rip one piece of paper, but not so easy to rip the whole book? Nadia? That's right, but it's still made of one piece of paper at a time, right? So the next time you guys look at books, I want you to also think about how books are kind of like a church. When we're all by ourselves out in the world, we're like this piece of paper, and it's pretty easy for us to break or make a poor choice or do something we're not too happy with. But when we're all together in a book, it's really hard to break us or to get a poor choice or to be hurt. And that's how church is. When we come to church, we're in a book. We're safe around, surrounded by our friends and our family and the people that love and care about Jesus like we do. And they help us to make good choices. And I think today we're celebrating that we are a church. Sometimes people think church is a building, but I want you to think of church as the people that are inside of it. The building is just sort of like the cover of the book, and the people inside are what actually make the building. Just like the pages inside a book is what makes it interesting. And that's what I want you to remember. Okay, do you want to bow your heads for prayer? Father, protect us and help us to be one with other believers, just as you are one with Jesus. Amen. And you guys get to go downstairs and bake. Have a good Sunday. Oh, no, not everybody. If you're with Perrin and Haley, you get to stay up here. So you stay.
We are pages in a book. I like that story. The solid rock, it also speaks to the church.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay.
When He shall come with trumpet sound,
oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone. All left to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
I'm sorry.
Just like to take some time to highlight a few announcements in today's bulletin. If everyone would turn to number 4. Everyone is welcome to attend a discussion on Wednesday, February 26th at 10 a.m. The discussion will be on conference issues in preparation for the MCM gathering next weekend. And then number 5, please pray for the Mennonite Church Manitoba gathering, which will be held at Steinbach Mennonite Church this Friday and Saturday. Chris McDonald, Paul White, Chris Sitterton, and Gary Martins will be our delegates at the conference sessions. I'd also like to highlight number 7. This year, NKMC will be hosting an Ash Wednesday service on March 5th, beginning at 7 o'clock p.m. Everyone is welcome to attend. And I'd also like to highlight number 9. If you are in your 20s, 30s, or 40s, and interested in connecting with others in your age group at NKMC, you and your children are invited to a potluck at Tricia and Shelby Weeb's on March 9th to do some brainstorming. Bring a salad, dessert, or some buns, and the chili will be on. If you plan to attend, please contact either Kim Zacharias, Gary Martins, or Tricia Weeb. Thank you. And I'd also ask us to remember those of our family who are in personal care homes and who are in hospital. Prayers for Henry Klein, who is now back from hospital. So praise God for that. And then also all our members who are in personal care homes, remember to keep them in your prayers. Does anyone else have anything they would like to share this morning?
Hello, Phil Franz Workington. I just wanted to thank everyone who came out to the Boys Club breakfast yesterday. It was a great success. We had over $1,500 of donations, and there's probably all the seats were full, so at least 100 people were there, and there might have been some turnover. And so it was a great time. Thanks for everyone who came out and all the people who helped as well.
Yeah, I'm Jeff Zacharias. So just wanted a brief word to let everybody know that son Bryce is now up in Yellowknife. He got his apprenticeship with a helicopter company up in Yellowknife, Northwest Territories. So miss him dearly. He's been gone now for 2 weeks. House is a little emptier, though Perrin is doing a good job of
filling it for me. So if you could keep him in his, keep him in your prayers and your thoughts as he embarks on this next stage in life. He has a place to stay and a good job, and he's enjoying it while he's there. But yeah, that's all.
Hi, I'm Trudy Voth. I just want to ask you about, or tell you about, my son's girlfriend. She's struggling with some mental health issues that are really concerning to us, and she can't get a doctor. She's just going from walk-in to walk-in and getting that kind of medication. So if you could remember her in your prayers to find a doctor, and if any of you know of a doctor out there who specializes in that and could let me know, that would be great. Thank you.
Just in case you don't know me, I'm Charles Lage. I wanted to give you an update on our family. Karen is going once a week yet for physio, and she's doing much better. And Matthew's doing okay. He's upstairs doing the sound. And me, I had, the 3 weeks ago I had the surgery. And due to the finger exercises on the piano, I am wearing the cast less time than he's ever had an experience with my doctor. So I'm in a brace now, and the scar is looking pretty good, but it's still very stiff and sore. So I just wanted to give you an update on that. Thank you. Your prayers are still very welcome.
Closer. It's just about the smorg again, because there is such a lovely turnout today. If you haven't signed up, we're in particular need of people who'd like to help with a cleanup towards the end of the smorg. We still need a few people to do some turkeys and hams, but it's looking good, and I want to make sure that it's all organized and I can have it all typed and ready before I leave. And I really want to make sure that if you have a chance, sign up. Thank you.
I'm Adina Redekop, and I would just like to share with you that Ed suffered a stress fracture in his foot on Wednesday, and so he is in a walking boot. He's doing okay. His spirits are good, and I asked him specifically this morning, what should I ask the congregation to pray for? He says, well, I'm in a good place. I'm okay. I want them to pray for you. Okay. So I'll toss it back in his corner. I'd like you to pray for both of us, for Ed to have continued healing, and for him to remember to stay off his foot, because he's in a walking cast. It's very easy for him to walk, get up and walk. It's painful, but he's doing it. And I'm gone from 7:30 in the morning till 6:30 at night, so I don't know what he does during the day. But if you could keep him in mind that he is good to himself and lays down, and for me, for strength, for another complication in our life. So that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Does anyone else have anything they'd like to share? Well, if not, then please bow your heads and join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you to thank you for all the good things that we have in our life. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you that we can all come together and celebrate your goodness in this place. Thank you for this country that we live in. We thank you for all the good gifts that you pour out upon us. But we also come in supplication. We ask you to be with us when there are hard times in our lives. I ask you to be with us when we are sick, when those that we love are sick, when those that we love are going through other hardships in their lives. I ask you to be there as a comfort to us during those hard times. I also ask you to be with those in the Ukraine as there is civil unrest there. I ask you to put your hand upon them and help them to come to a peaceful resolution. I ask you to be with all of us throughout this week and give us the strength to carry on in joy. Amen. We'll now take the offering, and the praise and worship team will come and lead us in a song.
Sorry. Better is one day.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. For my soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied. Within your presence I sing beneath the shadow of your wings. There is one day in your courts, there is one day in your house, there is one day in your courts, thousands elsewhere. There is one day in your courts, there is one day in your house, there is one day in your courts, and thousands elsewhere, and thousands elsewhere. One thing I ask, and I would seek, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. One thing I ask, and I would see, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. There is one day in your courts, there is one day in your house, there is one day in your courts, and thousands elsewhere. There is one day in your courts, there is one day in your house, there is one day in your courts, and thousands elsewhere, and thousands elsewhere. My heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God, your spirit's water to my soul. I've tasted and I've seen, come once again to me, I will draw near to you, I will draw near to you.
Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, if Pastor Gary would like to come up and share a message with us.
This morning, we're talking about celebration. Celebration is not something you talk about. Celebration is something you do. So, how about we all stand up, and I'd like you to greet a few people around you. If there's somebody new that you don't know, find out who they are and welcome them over to your place for lunch. Let's stand. That is what's called a holy hum. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for who you have called us to be and the family you have placed us in. Thank you for the church, a place to celebrate, a place where we can come and be cared for and walk together, hold hands, be encouraged, look forward, and all those other wonderful things. This morning, as we consider what that means, help us to consider what it means for us and what adjustments we may need to make within our own lives. Amen. Well, it's been the last 2 weeks have been something, haven't they? Watching the Olympics. Some of you got up this morning for 6 o'clock to watch that game. Wasn't nearly as exciting as a women's game, though, was it? No. Women really know how to do it. I was thinking, if they would ever bring the Olympics to Winnipeg, there would be a few extra sports we could add in. I was thinking of speed shoveling. How fast can you shovel that cement ridge that the grader leaves here in front of your driveway? It's actually been really exciting to watch, and it just gets the old adrenaline going when you watch Jennifer Jones or the women's hockey team or Patrick Chan or whoever you're watching sitting on the edge of your chair, and it's just sort of riveting. It's like church, right? We're getting there. And it's riveting, but as I've been, little delay there. But as I've been watching, on and off, there's been something that's kind of was troubling me, and that is that as we go, there's been more and more discussion about medals and less discussion about excellence in sports. Now, there's something called Own the Podium. You probably know all about this. And if I understand it correctly, it's a program put together to help them fund the various sports in the Olympics. So it's a great idea. But one of the things that they talk with in Own the Podium is that they want to increase the medals. So I don't know if you know that, but this year was a failure. In 2010, we had 26 medals. This year, 25. We were supposed to have 27. The Associated Press said 31. 25. I'm sorry, folks, but this just didn't work. And you kind of wonder a little bit. I mean, the Olympics are all about bringing the nations together in a way that economics and military and politics just can't do. And we come together and you celebrate what goes on, because a good hockey player is a good hockey player. It doesn't matter where they come from or who they play for. Well, a little bit who they play for, it's the Jets. But it's something that brings us together, and it almost feels like we've traded in a sense of celebrating excellence for celebrating numbers. Now I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you know what I'm saying. And that goes on in many areas of our lives. This past week again, there was a story on the news about a parent who got thrown out of their kid's hockey game for fighting with the ref. And you've heard about this, right? And so we're saying, what are our kids celebrating? Are they celebrating sportsmanship and discipline, or are they celebrating stomping on the other team? A little bit, right? One of our daughters was involved with soccer at quite a competitive league when she was in her mid-teens. And I remember it was her particular team was not that great. The teams were divided up by area of the city, and so they lost every game, and they learned how to do that well. It's a skill. But they slowly got better. And I remember one day they were playing indoor hockey with another team who usually dominated, and they were beating them. And so the parents were getting irritated, the parents from the other kids' team, and they started hollering at these teenage girls on my daughter's team and calling them trailer trash. I sat there and I said, you've got to be kidding. We bring our kids to sports for this? What are we celebrating? Are we celebrating our kids learning together, blah, 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 or are we celebrating beating the other people? And that's in a lot of areas of our lives. Even church. In church, we have picked up some of the points from outside. And what do we celebrate in church? What do people say when you say you go to church? Three questions usually. First one is, how big is it? Second one is, how many young people do you have? And the third one is, what kind of music do you play? And what we tend to celebrate in our society is what you call BYL churches. Big, young, and loud. And we're celebrating that, and we're missing something else. Now, don't get me wrong. These churches are amazing. They're wonderful. God is working in them in very real ways. I don't mean anything against the church. I'm talking about an attitude that we carry. Some of us are looking for a church like this to come and celebrate, a church where people love each other and care about each other and can share with each other and invite people like the pastor over for lunch. It's great. We're free in a couple of weeks. Church happens, and we celebrate that. It reminds me sometimes the attitude where we get to celebrating the wrong thing. We get to celebrating dominance instead of people. A story from 1 Kings chapter 21. Ahab is king, and he wants the garden next door, which belongs to Naboth. So he goes to say to Naboth, can I buy your garden? And Naboth goes, no. It's been in the family forever, and I want to hang on to it, so no. You can look out your window and enjoy it. That's all you get. So he goes home and he's all upset. And his wife, Queen Jezebel, says, what's the problem? He says, Naboth won't sell me his garden. And she says, are you the king or what? Go in your room and I'll come back in a little while. So she goes out there, trumps up some charges against him. He gets killed. She comes back, drops the keys to the gate in Ahab's hands and say, now you can go celebrate your garden. Not for very long, as the story turns out. You can read that. But there's a notion of celebration as the end rather than celebration as what it's intended to be. What is celebration? Celebration has to do with people. We gather people together to celebrate life passages like births and weddings and those sorts of things, or achievements, graduation or gold medals or whatever the case may be. We get people together and celebrate what's going on in their life. It draws us in. And when our kids are in sports, what do we celebrate? We celebrate the lessons they're learning. We celebrate hot chocolate at McDonald's at 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays. There's lots of things. There's precious moments there, right? That's what celebration is. The church, by definition, is a place of celebration. looking backwards. Sorry, I always start with creation, but that's where things started, so got to deal with that. God created us to be in relationship with Him and with each other, and in the garden, it was a place of celebration, right? It's wonderful. Sin comes in, things fall apart, and from that moment on, God is working at putting things back together. Genesis 3:16, Proto-Evangelium, God says, I'm going to fix this. And so we see from then on, God working at celebration. They had the feast, the Passover, and Thanksgiving, and so forth, harvest feast, rather. And also bringing people together. And so we've mentioned before the passage about Abraham in Genesis 12, 1-3. Very important passage. God says, I'm going to bless you, and through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Now, there's a tiny bit of irony here. Abraham had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Well, he had others, but those two we remember. And they're not quite at peace right now. They're descendants. So God is pulling them, trying to pull people together. Or the passage we read on First Advent, where we talked about, from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, talked about all the people in the world coming together on the mountain of God to celebrate. Now, sometimes they forgot in the Old Testament, and they said, we're celebrating, we got lots of land and servants and sheep in case you want those and a few other things. And God says, just a minute, we're kind of missing the point here. And so he sent them off to Babylon to cool their jets a little bit, and he brought them back and he said, now, let's focus on what's important here, on being the people of God. Jesus comes along, models what it means to care for and celebrate people, teaches about that, dies, is risen from the dead, sends us a Holy Spirit to empower us to go out there and be a celebration people, an Easter people. And the story goes on. There's a wonderful story in Martyr's Mirror, which is an account of all the martyrs who died in church history, well, many of them. It's a story of a young woman who becomes a Christian, starts going to church. It's off in the bush because it's banned. A young man becomes a Christian. He starts going to church, and it's wonderful. They're celebrating their Christian life and the church. And then it happens. They see each other. They fall in love. They get married. Wonderful, right? And then the authorities catch them. And they drag them in, and sure enough, they're Christians. They kill him. But she's expecting, so they say, well, we want to redeem the child. So they throw her in jail. And while she's in jail, she writes letters to her unborn child. So what would be in those letters? If I were to write those letters, I would want a little vindication, maybe. I would say, this is so unfair. I have followed God with my life, and what do I get? I lose my husband, now I'm going to die, I don't even get to raise my child, this isn't fair, God, come on. But what do her letters say? She writes to her child, she said, I hope that when you grow up, you learn to love and follow the way of Jesus the way I have done. It is so amazing to follow Christ, and the church is just phenomenal. I hope that you also are able to celebrate life the way I did. And she has a child, and they kill her, right? There's celebration. Not celebrating because things are easy, or she got what she wanted, but celebration as an experience. Something happened in her that turned her around, not just to do the right thing, but to embrace life the way that God meant life to be embraced. Well, and the story continues. The story continues. Many of you have a story coming out of, well, many of you came out of the Ukraine in the early 1900s, and you have stories. Stories of God walking with you. Stories of celebration. This church has a history, a story. Sometimes we pick up the negative side of that story. Let's not do that. Let's pick up the positive side. This church is a place where we have celebrated life. People being born and married and all sorts of wonderful things. We've celebrated life passages. We've celebrated people coming to faith in Jesus Christ, reaching out to our neighbors, caring for the poor. Lots of wonderful things have happened here. This is a church. God is at work. And you each have a story. A story about how God has worked in you. And for many of you, that story is coming to faith in Christ, finding family here. It's amazing. Celebration goes on the future as well. We take a look at what will be one day. When you take a look at songs, I think they're called Negro spirituals, whatever they're called now, a lot of them have to do with heaven. They say life is rotten now, but man, are we going to celebrate when we get there. We're going to put on our dancing shoes. They didn't know that Mennonites don't dance. They're put on their dancing shoes and they're going to go dance all over heaven on the streets of gold. And it's just, they can hardly wait. Very often when people who have followed the way of Jesus in their life pass away, family comes and says, would you speak about heaven? That was so important to our parent in their last days. They talked about, could hardly wait. And so we talked. The Bible doesn't say a lot about heaven. It says in John 14 that there's a place prepared specially for us. Jesus will be there. 1 Thessalonians 4, my read of the passage at least, starting in verse 13, says we're going to be together with those who have come before. Revelation 21, 22, no more sickness and pain. There's food there, which is good. Basically, what the Bible says, the New Testament says about heaven is it is amazing. If you speak 1970s, it blow your mind. Just great. And so we look ahead and we see that and we read passages like Revelation chapter 7, where we see people from every area coming together. And what are they doing? They're celebrating. Revelation 19, the celebration, the wedding feast of the Lamb. And so we look ahead and we see this amazing celebration happening. But we live here. We're between the past and the future, and we live here. So what do? And the answer is pretty simple. We celebrate. And that's what we've been talking about for the last 6 weeks as we've been talking about reimagining the church. We talked about how we celebrate our unity. Remember, we talked about walls melting and we come together and we discover in these people that we had built a wall and they were on the outside. When the wall melts, we find that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. It's amazing. We are a church. And we celebrate our diversity. When we finally break down the fortress, those of you who sat through the last six know what I'm talking about. We finally break down the fortress that defines us and find ourselves rooted in Jesus Christ. We find that we can celebrate the diversity that's here. The diversity in our background, in our language, the way we were brought up, whatever, diversity in personalities. There's all sorts of things going on here, right? And so we celebrate who you are. Whether that's German or Italian or French or Irish. I'm quarter Irish in case you didn't know. Explains a few things, isn't it? We celebrate our backgrounds or even the tradition we've come from. Some of you have come from a Catholic background or Anglican or Lutheran. And here you are and you enrich us and we celebrate that. Just in case you're wondering, the flow isn't all this way. In Winnipeg, there's a strange group that they call the Manglicans. Have you heard of those? It's a bunch of Mennonites in the Anglican church. They call them Manglicans. Sounds like something's wrong with them, but they're fine. We celebrate a sense of belonging when we talked about how we welcomes strangers, and strangers become friends. That's hospitality is all about. And as they become friends, we find ourselves affirmed because we reach out to them and they reach back to us. And we talked about how God offers us hospitality and we in response offer God hospitality. Matthew 25, if you do it to the least of these, you do it to me and to others. And we even talked about how we find we can come to peace with ourselves, the stranger within. We talked about how in forgiveness we celebrate being reunified and also an incredible freedom. We talked about forgiveness as hard work, remember? Because we don't go through that lightly. We take it seriously. But as we work that through, we find relationships put back together, friendships rekindled, and bitterness is dealt with. Justice is dealt with. Fairness it comes out. But in the process of true forgiveness, we are set free. And we celebrate that. and we celebrate. Let's see, what was after that? Forgiveness. Oh, yes, conflict. We celebrate growth in conflict. Growth in ourselves, as we talked about different styles of conflict, and we say, oh, that's who I am. I could do better. We grow as we look at how we do conflict, and we realize that conflict doesn't always alienate us. In fact, it doesn't have to alienate us, that we can grow together, because conflict often puts on the floor what needs to be discussed anyhow. So instead of hiding it or pretending it isn't there, we deal with it, and we experience an incredible sense of freedom in that as well. And last week we talked about celebrating power. The Holy Spirit comes and enables us to do what it was that we long to do, and that is to be the children of God who hold hands, follow the way of Jesus, and celebrate. We can do this. So that's how we come together, the people of God. The definition of the church is the I'm making this up, but I think it's true. The group of people who comes together following Jesus to celebrate what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, has begun. Where? Right here on Roach Street. The kingdom has begun, and the way we see that is the way that we celebrate what God has done in us and with us. We sometimes say, well, you know, the kingdom is already and not yet. It's not here yet. Not this one, folks. We're not saying we're going to finally get happy when we get to heaven. Mm-mm. That's now. That's the evidence that we are followers of Jesus. We slip once in a while. We sometimes say and do things that we shouldn't. But we come back because we know that as a people of God, we're going to work this through. And we will celebrate. Hallelujah. God has given us the church. You are God's best gift to the person sitting next to you. Don't forget that. Amen.
All three of us are singing a song of celebration in our heads. And unfortunately, that's not the song we have planned, and I don't have the words and music in front of me, so YouTube it. I think it's just called Sing a Song of Celebration, and you will feel inspired, and it really would have been a better next song, but we've got God of Wonders, which also is a nice song.
Lord of all creation, of what earth and sky, heavens are your tabernacle, glory to the Lord on high, God of wonders beyond our galaxy. galaxy. You are holy, holy. Precious Lord, reveal your heart to me. Father, holy, holy.
Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth.
What a wonderful song. It reminds us of the reason for our celebration. Thanks. I'd like to invite you to stand if you are able for the benediction and for the last song. Dearly loved people of God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
And Chris started our service this morning with the reading of Psalm 100, and this is a song based on Psalm 100.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth, endureth to all generations. Hallelujah, glory, hallelujah.